Induced infringement. You wouldn't think that two little lines in a statute could produce as much litigation and dispute as they do. But the induced infringement just says, whoever actively induces infringement of a patent shall be liable as an infringer. Okay, that seems simple enough. But then it gets complicated when we start trying to figure out what exactly that means. And it's gotten more complicated over the last couple of years, although maybe some of you are going to argue that it has become simplified by the Supreme Court weighing in on this. But as you will see from the aftermath of these two cases, I think that is – maybe they've got bright line rules now, but because, as Ken said, we play with words. Little history. We'll start with Comil. Started back in 2007. I know that's hard to believe because we're still recently talking about it, but it started back in 2007 with Comil suing Cisco, and then finally we got to a trial in May of 2010. Jury awarded $3.7 million. Not very much in the grand scheme of things. A lot to you and I, but in the grand scheme of things, as you will see, not very much. December of that same year, a new trial was ordered. A little while later, in April of 2011, that jury verdict went up by $60 million to 63.7, and then for good measure, fees and costs and prejudgment interest were added to that. Then the Federal Circuit finally chimed in 2013, and they affirmed in part, vacated in part, and remanded, complicating matters. The Federal Circuit said that an accused infringer's good faith belief in the invalidity of a patent could possibly negate the finding of intent required under induced infringement. And they found that the jury instructions allowed for negligence or recklessness as part of the knowledge.